Well, good morning and welcome to St Luke's and Happy New Year to you all. Today is the second Sunday after Christmas, but we are keeping the festival of the Epiphany. It's actually Tuesday, but we're doing it a couple of days early as we often do in church. Would you please stand as we sing together our opening hymn, some verses from Christ Be Our Light. Be with you.
And also with you.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Let us pray. Lord God of the nations, we have seen in the star of your glory rising in splendor. May the brightness of your incarnate word pierce the night that covers the earth, signal the dawn of justice and peace, and beckon all nations to walk as one in your light. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit in the splendor of eternal light, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated. So let's pray. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Sue is going to read our first reading for us.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your lights have come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all of those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. For the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, we're still in Christmas season, so let's stand and sing the carol Born in the Night. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is a shepherd, my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they'd heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Well, the Feast of Epiphany that we're celebrating today is the last part of the Christmas narrative. So we had that reading from Matthew's Gospel. But it's also the beginning of the next part of our Christian journey through the year. In my reading this week, one phrase from a commentator struck me particularly. They wrote, "Epiphany is a promise that God is here, whether or not we notice the signs." That struck me particularly. I'll come back to that in a moment. But first, I want to ask you, what struck you most about that gospel passage that we've heard? What springs to mind, yeah?
Came to the house.
Yeah, we're doing this Bible study, aren't we? What phrase did you struck most? Yes. Well, maybe Epiphany is one of those days when there's certain hymns that you only sing on that day, and there's certain pieces of music can only be played on that day, and Brian's going to play us one during communion today that he gets to play twice a year for two services on Epiphany. So he's looking forward to that. But then a lot of the hymns that we sing today, low star-led chieftains, wise men, Christ adoring, or as we gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, or and by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far. And of course, we never ever forget, we three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we travel afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. In our imagination, we think of a picture of three kings riding on camels with jeweled turbans, bearing their gifts, following the star. And as I say, point out, even our frontal on our holy table depicts that scene. But of course, the scriptures don't actually tell us all of that. They don't mention a number other than three gifts. They don't call them kings. And so despite all the hymnology and all the Christmas nativity pageants, there is something different going on here. The story has been elaborated over the centuries. The names of the physical descriptions have been associated with what has become three and three kings, Melchior, Gaspar, and Balthazar, from three different continents even. But the word that was retranslated as wise men in the version that I read is the word magi. And that word magi in the New International Version, they don't even attempt to translate it. They just write the word, leave the word magi in there. Magi were priests in early Iranian religions, such as Zoroastrianism. But it's probably more likely to be used in this sense as a wider description of scholars. Such men and probably women as well were those who had the time and the training to study everything. They were polymaths of the day. But particularly, one thing they were particularly interested in would have been looking at astronomical phenomena. The idea that what happened in the sky influenced what happened on Earth was part of their natural philosophy, their world order. And so the star has a particular place there. And many people in today's age have tried to explain what that star was, sometimes getting quite convoluted, sort of trying to rationalize everything. And I always remember something written by Professor Colin Humphreys, who was actually a professor of material science and taught me when I was an undergraduate. But he looked at how the wise men probably would have interpreted things in the sky. He would have he worked out from astronomical tables that there would have been conjunctions of planets visible in the constellation of Pisces, which would have been a very, very sort of an auspicious event. And so therefore, was something important is happening in Judea, they would have realized from on their way looking at things. And then the next year, a comet appeared. People were thinking it may have been Halley's Comet, but I'm not quite sure of the timing of that, but people have said that. And that would have been momentous as well. And so given what they understood, they would have seen in the signs, and they would interpret those as something important, a great king to be born in Judea. So they would have set off and traveled. They were the scholars, they were the people who had the ability to go and do this sort of thing. And as they travelled, the comet would attract around, and eventually it would have been pointing toward from Jerusalem towards Bethlehem. Well, we can go round and round in circles looking at that, and some people do. But what is matters is there was clearly something that prompted the wise men to go. They'd seen something, they had an inquisitive mind, they had a desire to seek knowledge. They didn't know what they were looking for, but it was worth a long and a difficult journey. You will, I'm sure, remember the beginning of T.S. Eliot's poem, The Journey of the Magi. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey, the ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. And when the Magi reached Jerusalem, they continued their quest. They asked of the authorities what the sign they'd seen had meant. And the answer they received, well, the scholars, the Jewish priests and the scribes had a different worldview. They were steeped in the Hebrew scriptures, and they knew the words of the prophets. And so they quote those words in verse 6. "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is a shepherd, my people Israel." These are words from the book of Micah, chapter 5. And actually, in its original setting, that was a time when Assyria had destroyed Samaria in 722, and an attack on Jerusalem was expected. The prophet Micah is saying that out of the ruins, there will be a new beginning. There will be a new Jerusalem, a new David from Bethlehem. And they'd read it at that. But the insight that the gospel writer, that Matthew, gives on us is that this prophecy is also a prophecy, can be reinterpreted as a prophecy about Jesus, and Jesus who will be a shepherd, a leader of the people, who will free God's people. Matthew probably also had in mind prophecies from elsewhere in the Bible. In Numbers and 1 Kings, they speak of a star coming out of Jacob, and camel trains bringing gifts to King Solomon. So camels do get in the story somewhere there, if not in Matthew's gospel explicitly. And then both Isaiah 60, which we heard this morning, and Psalm 72, which is set for today, also talk about one who will come to dispel darkness, a king to promote righteousness. And so in Matthew's narrative, the Magi journeyed on and they found Jesus. And they recognize him as someone special. Whether they fully understood the relevance of fulfilled prophecy, which Matthew wants us to do, they saw in Jesus a world-changing event, in their own way of thinking, potentially. And how they responded is important. And they responded by paying him homage first. The gifts came later. Whatever they saw, they clearly seen something that they noticed. Epiphany is a promise that God is here, whether or not we notice the signs. Epiphany means manifestation, the revealing of who Jesus is. And our season of Epiphany starts with our celebration today and ends with the Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John learn that Jesus is their Lord and God. But Jesus always was who Jesus was. But it takes a while to realize it. And probably as we read the scriptures, these disciples didn't really get it even in the Transfiguration. And it was only after Good Friday and Easter, reflecting on that, they finally understood who Jesus was. So this idea that God is revealed in Jesus, revealing what God always was, is also a theme very much that runs through St. Paul's writings. The other reading set for today, which we didn't hear but is in the notice paper, is his letter to the Ephesians. And Paul writes, "The mystery was made known to me by revelation, In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. But just as Jesus always was and always will be, that promise to all nations was there even before Paul reflected on this. It was there in the message of Epiphany, in the visit of the way of the wise men or the Magi. Maybe it was the Spirit that was guiding the wise men and the women rather than the GPS. But they may not have actually recognized the work of the Spirit in this. They understood it maybe in a different way, in their own way, but they were the first of the Gentiles to be sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus, as Paul puts it. Epiphany is a promise that God is here, whether or not we notice the signs. And Matthew looks at how people see the signs and contrasts the Eastern scholars, the Magi, with the local scholars, the chief priests and the scribes, and in doing so, leaves us with a challenge. Whoever these Magi actually were, in Matthew's account, it is these learned stargazers who studied the signs in the sky. They were dreamers who risked the arduous journey from afar. They were foreigners who found their way to the Christ child. They sought answers to their questions. They tried to connect their learnings with realities that they saw around them. Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, they ask. And our challenge is, do we connect what we see to what our learnings are? Do we see the signs? In contrast, the local scholars, the tribes, scribes and the chief priests, they were also learned. They knew their scriptures back to front. But until Herod asked them the question, they didn't recognize that their knowledge might encourage them to reinterpret the Micah prophecy as evidence of what God was doing around them. So one wonders, well, what hindered their ability to see the star in a metaphorical sense? And what hinders us from seeing the signs? The Magi are a continual reminder that the presence of God's Messiah is not limited to words on a page or even to prophecy and promise. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, ever and always. And so Epiphany is indeed a promise that God is here, whether or not we notice the signs. Amen. Stand as you're able and join with me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and he seated at the right hand of God. For they who will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in God, the Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So let us pray for the world and for the Church.
The response to the prayers today, I will finish each one with God of signs and wonders, and your response is, hear our prayers. God of sign and wonders, hear our prayers. You reveal yourself to the world, and the heavens announce your coming. Open our eyes to find you today in the wonders of your creation, and all who work for the preservation of your beautiful world. God of signs and wonders,
hear our prayer.
You reveal yourself to the world, and the kings bow in adoration before a baby. Open our eyes to find you today in the weak and vulnerable people of the world, and in all who choose to set aside pomp and privilege. God of signs and wonders,
hear our prayer.
You reveal yourself to the world, and a tyrant is filled with fear. Open our eyes to find you today in those who suffer at the hands of tyrants, and in all who challenge harsh and corrupt regimes. Today we pray that 2026 may be a year where wisdom, justice, peace, and hope may prevail amongst those with influence on the world stage over areas of war and conflict, climate change, and food security. God of signs and wonders, you reveal yourself to the world, and the Gentiles become heirs to your mystery. Open our eyes to find you today in those outside your church, and in all who work to break down barriers of exclusion. And today in the Anglican Communion, we pray for the Church of the Province of Central Africa. We pray for the Diocese of Ballarat, Bishop Gary Weatherall, Assistant Bishop Scott Lowry, the clergy and people. We also pray for the parish of Gold Coast North, the priests and people there. We pray for Gold Coast South with the priests and people there, and the Woodford Correctional Centre and Canterbury College, Waterford, with the principal, chaplain, college council, and staff and students. We also remember today Danny Middlethorpe, the Scripture Union chaplain at Wellers Hill State School. In our local schools and colleges, we pray for Wellers Hill, Junction Park, and Maruka Primary Schools. And today in our parish, we remember and pray for the Little Angels Tarragindi team as they prepare to launch the Early Learning Centre early this year, in particular, that all the required licences are obtained promptly. God of signs and wonders, you reveal yourself to the world, and the sick are healed, and the sad are comforted. Open our eyes to find you today in those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and in all who seek to alleviate the pain of others. And today, if we pray for those who've asked for our prayers, Ryan, Jocelyn, Peter, David, Jan, Robin and Maxine, Rita, Sharon, Margaret, Don and Deb, Georgina, Glenda, Sue, Liz and Angie, Reverend Shane, Natalie, Lynette, Sue, Rose, Al, Jennifer, Sandy, Mary, and Lee. And from our parish book of remembrance today, we remember Ivy Evelyn Wilkinson, Kathleen Ray McIntosh, Edna Evelyn Davidson, Frances Susan Tardant, Richard Robin Alexander Kleitzman, and Graham Houston. God of signs and wonders, hear our prayer. You reveal yourself to the world, and we share in the promise of your glory. Open our eyes to find you today, that we may neither carelessly miss or willfully ignore your presence among us. May we, like the sages of old, read the signs of your coming, follow your light, and be drawn to adoration in your presence. God of signs and wonders.
Yeah. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, the Son of God, has been revealed as a light to the nations. Let us bring our darkness to his light, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ.
His Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. Five people on Zoom, peace be with you. Well, as we remain standing, we sing our next hymn. angels from the realms of glory. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share, accepting these our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You've given it to us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, "This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me." You've gathered us together to feed on Christ and to remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your Spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body,
for we all share the one bread.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of the nations, we thank you for nourishing us with this holy sacrament. Guide us by your presence, that we may bring your light to those who dwell in darkness and establish your justice in the earth. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. Well, let's stand then as we sing our missional hymn, remembering that they weren't free and they weren't kings. We'll still sing, "We Free Kings of Orient Are." Christ, the Son of God, be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.